is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, proceeding back to our text here in 1 Peter chapter 4, where we'll pick up with verse 4. All right, today is a new day. It's another Bible class. It's an opportunity as believers to advance ourselves and take opportunity of the time that God has given us. We're able to do so that because at any given point in time, obviously, we can get in fellowship. We can have the rulership of God, the Holy Spirit, ruling over our souls, and therefore take the truth of Bible doctrine, assimilate it, understand it undistorted by the sin nature, and hopefully advance ourselves spiritually in the angelic conflict. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, for Jesus Christ's work on the cross, we greatly thank you for our ability to overrule the sin nature of our lives that seeks to control us and run our lives and have God the Holy Spirit truly rule our lives. And we ask once again this evening that in his position of rulership, you will once again enlighten us to the truth of the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here back into the text. In chapter 4, in verse 4 now, Peter continues in thought, verse 3, the believers having ample time to indulge their STA vices in idolatries during their pre-salvation days in association with the negative cosmos. Verse 3, for the time already past is sufficient. Is more than enough time for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles being technical for the negative cosmos and the mode of operation of which they operate in these believers in their pre-salvation days aligning themselves with. Having pursued, then he gives a list of vices that was typical of this time and age of the Christian world, a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Now here in verse 4, as we title this, What Positive Volition Can Expect from Negative Volition, looks back to that fact. Looking at the Greek here, and in all this, they are surprised. There's no conjunction in the Greek. It's simply in this theme. You have the preposition in, en, followed with the relative pronoun, in the locative case, hos, as a singular, in this thing. They are surprised. They are surprised as a present passive indicative of the verb ex nizo, X-E-N-I-Z-O. Literally, in the passive, it means to be received as a stranger or a guest. As it's used in Acts 10:6, verse 18, 23, and 32. In the intransitive sense, which we have, it means to think strange. They are surprised. It's used again, we'll see, in 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. This particular verb used 10 times. They are surprised, obviously, the Gentiles in view, that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation. You, here is the pronoun, personal pronoun, second person plural, you all, sue, that's you, it's emphatic. You yourselves, they are surprised, you yourselves do not run with them. You have the negative may, N-E, plus, here the adjectival participle present active, to run with them, to run together, soon, the compound soon, treko, S-U-N-T-R-E-C-H-O, may plus soon treko, hence, do not run with them. you yourselves are not running together with, or mingling with, or joining with, is the idea. It's used three times here in Mark 6:33 and Acts 3:11. Into is your the direction of which their course is going. Here is ice, E-I-S, E-I-S. Towards or into the same excess of dissipation. Here, the same is the identical adjectival use of the pronoun with the definite article, hey, autos, A-U-T-O-S, translated the same. Excess is your noun, accusative feminine singular of anacusis, A-N-A-C-H-U-S-I-S. It literally means a flood, hence excess or extreme. It's used one time. Of dissipation. Of dissipation is the noun here in the genitive case, a description of their excess, with the definite article, hey, asotia, A-S-O-T-I-A. It means wastefulness. Here in this sense, debauchery, in regards to the vices, the sexual vices that were listed before. It's used three times. Here, Ephesians 5:18, Titus 1:6. And they malign you. And they malign you is one word in the Greek. It's a circumstantial participle, present active, of our verb to blaspheme. Blasphemeo. B-L-A-S-P-H-E-M-E-O. While speaking against, maligning, or while blaspheming. Rereading the verse, and in all this, literally in this thing, they are surprised that you do not run with them, supply, into the same excess of wastefulness or dissipation, while they malign you, while blaspheming. All right, the analysis of verse 4. One, again, there is no connective and in the Greek text. Two, verse 4 simply begins with the prepositional phrase, in this thing, or in this regard, or literally, in which. Three, the phrase here is designed to infer another statement of conclusion. Throughout the section, Peter is bringing out conclusions based on certain facts that have been already discussed. And that conclusion began in verse 1, therefore. And then there's a second conclusion based on verses 1 and 2, stipulated in verse 3, since we are not to live the rest of the time in the same way as our negative counterparts do. So the phrase here, again, is to infer another statement of conclusion, what he deduces in regards to the previous verse. So for this more so than just a continued explanation as to the worthlessness of their pre-salvation era, as a conjunction might imply. All this course of pursuing STA vices and idolatries, and a continued wastefulness in regards to the excess of dissipation that these Gentiles pursue. So it's more than that. It's more than simply an observation. So five, what Peter concludes here is a certain expectation that positive adjusted believers can expect from the cosmos as they focus their lives on Bible doctrine. Peter gave us the contrast in verse 2 in regards to the alternatives and what we are supposed to do in regards to being adjusted believers, so that's spending the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So, obviously, that is your alternative in your pre-salvation days. Obviously, one is living for the lust of the flesh of men rather than the will of God. And when the believer gets on Bible doctrine, under the normal scenario one might expect, in regards to positive volition after making the salvation adjustment, then attaching themselves to a sound adjusted ministry to continue to advance spiritually. One can expect certain reactions from the negative volition of which they used to be a part of, as they now have a new course in life, a new focus, new relationships, new associations, things of this nature. So his conclusion here is this certain expectation that positive volition can expect from negative volition of whom were a former associates. So, 6, the conclusion further assumes that his readers understand that the doctrine of separation is the backbone of thinking behind verse 3, as we brought out in regards to that particular verse. Obviously, if time is more than enough to have done this, then the issue is for the believer to separate themselves from this lifestyle and employ the new lifestyle of the truth of Bible doctrine in their lives. So Peter assumes, obviously, that the believer understands the importance of that doctrine as implied in regards to verse 3. So 7, in other words, verse 3 has no real impact on the Christian life until separation is applied. Verse 3, apart from understanding, you're not supposed to do this anymore, separate from that, etc., it has no teeth. It's just a mere observation. While it is an observation, it is more than an observation. It is an exhortation in regards to these believers with respect to keeping their eyes focused the way they're supposed to, emulating the positive volition that we have a perfect example of in Jesus Christ in regards to living a life of righteousness. So 8, without separation, verses 3 and 4 are both reduced to mere observations. This is not the first time we've seen in this epistle that Peter has obvious doctrine in the background of his thinking in regards to the things that he is expressing, such as the doctrine of importance of Bible doctrine that we saw in verse 1, the doctrine of regeneration, which clearly understanding that doctrine then helped explain much of the latter part of verse 1 going into chapter 2, etc. And here, obviously, this is a doctrine that is elementary, and he expects his readers to have picked up on the innuendo that is implied in regards to verse 3, not pursuing this type of course along with the Gentiles in this fashion. So without separation, verses 3 and 4, point 8, are both reduced to mere observations. 9, it is separation that provides the driving force behind the reactions of the negative cosmos as set forth now in verse 4. It is why they really are surprised. And as we will see, the very term of running together with, mingling with, denotes that there is no longer an association with them in this respect. So it is the doctrine of separation is the driving force that puts teeth into these verses. So 10, verse 4 could be translated, in regards to your new course in life, they are surprised that you not run with them into the same excess of dissipation. 11, the singular locative case of the relative pronoun all this, hosts, or in this, functions as a collective singular here, a collective singular, encapsulating all the STA vices amounting to idolatry in verse 3. Also, in the locative case, and introduced by the preposition in. So all the vices that he listed are introduced with the preposition in verse 3, and they're all also in the locative case. Now he puts it all in one ball of wax, in which. That's because this is looked at as a lifestyle, a life function, life operation, life goal, things of this nature, in the singular sense. So 11 again, the singular locative case of the relative pronoun, all, this, functions as a collective singular, encapsulating all the FCA vices amounting to idolatry. In verse 3, also in the locative case and introduced by the preposition in. 12, these idolatries are tantamount to the unbeliever's life under the absolute rulership of the STA. Again, you've got to understand the doctrine of the STA, its impact in regards to the individual's life. And all of us are born in this world inherently with a sin nature. It is the rulership over the real you. And we are born spiritually dead in that condition. And the fact is, when one lets the STA run their life, they pursue the desires of the STA, they make it their goal in life, in whatever area, apart from, obviously, in legitimate terms, fulfilling God's plan in this respect, when you let your STA run, that's tantamount to idolatry. Compare Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death the members of your earthly body. How do you do that? Rather than being under spiritual temporal death, you want to, if you will, kill off the SCA experientially. You do that through rebound and refusing to capitulate then to the salivations of the SCA. So, put to death is simply rebounding, getting in fellowship the members of your earthly body. And then he gives a list in regards to the vices, obviously some of them, of which the SCA sponsors to immorality, impurity, passion, again, sexual types of sins, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. People think that idolatry has to have some graven image and making human sacrifices or some type of other type of blood sacrifices to engage in idolatry. No, idolatry is simply letting the SCA rule your life. Idolatry is worshiping something other than God, putting something before God in your life. People who put jobs, relationships, things of this nature before the importance of Bible doctrine and worship God in their life are making these things their idols. Often, family are people's idols. They are their gods. And we know what Christ taught about that. If you put your family before Him, you are not worthy of Him. That's because they have become your idol, your God. And idolatry is supported and sponsored by the SCA and is driven by the human viewpoint of demonic thinking that obviously associates itself with the SCA and its desires. And for the unbeliever, obviously their life is a life of nothing but idolatry. So these idolatries are tantamount to the unbeliever's life under the absolute rulership of the STA. 13, to opt for STA human viewpoint in place of God's directive will is a practice of idolatry emulating our unbelieving counterparts. 14, this is not the way of life. The having pursued a course that they have had already ample time to do back in verse 3. This is not the way of life expected for these converts to Christianity, now having the resources to overrule the STA. And obviously, that resource has come through their saving faith and the indwelling regeneration of the human spirit, indwelling of God the Holy Spirit with the regeneration of the human spirit. And now the believer has the capacity to overrule the sin nature and therefore live a life that is spiritual in compliance to God in this respect. 15, however, because these believers had joined their fellow cosmic citizens for immoral and idolatrous indulgences in the past, it was natural that they would be expected to continue. In the setting, obviously, these before people become believers, they had their associations, they had their crowds that they run with, When I say crowds, it could be anybody. It could be family, friends, business associates, whatever. But they had their crowds. And all of a sudden, they get hooked into doctrine. And their life has a different focus. And when that occurs, all those who they embrace as friends, you know, the friends of the world in this respect, to them, that is quite a change in regards to the individual. And while, yeah, that's all right if you want to go to church, but why not come ahead and hang out with us, go do our things, you know, they would expect you to just keep on running your life more or less the same way that it had been. But that is not the case for Bible doctrine, for those on doctrine. So, because these believers had joined their fellow cosmic citizens for immoral and idolatrous indulgences in the past, it was natural that they would be expected to continue. 16, when they did not, their native counterparts were surprised. Nizo in the Greek. They were surprised. 17, this verb literally means, in its literal form, to entertain a guest or stranger. It's used in this vein, Acts 10:6. Peter and the man Cornelius. And Peter was dispatched to see Cornelius. In verse 6, he was staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. That is our term, staying with. The man was entertaining him. He was being entertained, if you will, by this individual. Put up verse 18 and calling out. They were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there or lodging there, being put up. Verse 23, and so he invited them in and gave them lodging. And see how it's translated in the literal sense. Verse 32, send therefore to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying, it's our term again, at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. 21:16. And some of the disciples from Caesarea also came with us, taking us to Mnason of Cyprus, a disciple longstanding with whom we were to lodge, to stay and be entertained by, or have hospitality applied to. 28:7. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading man, a daughter named Pugilus, who welcomed us and entertained us. It was more kind of an accurate translation. Courteously 3 days. And then Hebrews 13:12. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. That's what it should be. That was the verse I was thinking when I said Hebrews, so we'll make it that verse. So that's the literal sense. So 18, as an intransity, now as it's used here, it means to think something strange, as strange or alien. We saw brought out 1 Peter 4:12 there in our parsing. Also Acts 17:20 is other use. They're probably translated surprise too. No, they're strange. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears.
See.
We want to know, therefore, what these things mean. Paul teaching doctrine, and it's the first they'd heard of it. It's new and alien to them. So 19, now the idea in our verse. The idea in our verse is that negative volition here views the believer that formerly was compatible in thought and association, the same likes of things in life, etc., willing to hang out, run with them, and do what they wanted to do, now as weird or mentally not right. They have become fanatical, let's see, in some sense. They're not of sound mind. Somehow their thinking has got messed up here. This is not normal. See, that's the sense. This is not normal. Everybody else does. Why are you not doing what we're doing? So that's your idea. So again, point 19, the idea in our verse is that negative volition views a believer that formerly, in their pre-salvation days, was compatible in thought and association, willing to hang out, call them their friends, their buds, now is weird or mentally not right. 20, negative volition views these Christians as, quote, non-conformists, end quote, because they will no longer associate with them in mainline religiosity. Obviously, the Gentiles also represent the majority of the world and how the world operates. And now Christianity has a whole different approach. An approach that does not run under the STA, does not run according to the human viewpoint standards. And the fact that these early believers, when they left their pagan associates in this regard and attached themselves to Christianity, all of a sudden, they became the weirdos of the group. They were nonconformists. 21, that the doctrine of separation is in view, is brought out by the negative participle, do not run with them. May, the negative may, plus suntreko. 22, this verb is used three times. It means to run together with, mingling, or joining with. It's used here, then also confer Mark 6:33. Christ regards his ministry. The people saw them going, disciples of Christ. Many recognized him. And the people, they ran there together, that's our term, on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them as they in mass made a quick exit from where they was at, get ahead of where Christ was going so they could watch the magic show, generally speaking. And then also Acts 3:11, so it envisions people running in groups. And then Acts 3:11. Peter heals a lame man, and while he's clinging to Peter, and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called Portico of Solomon, full of amazement. It was a big rush, see. In force, in mass. So, the fact that the running together with, in mass, is negated, it obviously points to the doctrine of separation. They're not doing this anymore. So, 23, now the participle here is an exaggeration of the participle having pursued a course in verse 3. The way of life, standard of life, if you will, in verse 3, having pursued a course now is related to, in terms of this frantic running together with these individuals. We would place it under the concept of the frantic search for happiness. So the participle here is an exaggeration of the participle having pursued a course in verse 3. 24, negative volition under a, quote, knee-jerk, end quote, reaction. That's the way a lot of people do react. It's just a knee-jerk reaction. They hear something, a piece of truth, you know, and immediately they just totally react without giving any thought. See? And obviously, rather than investigate and see why there's a change, all these individuals do is immediately react. So negative volition under a knee-jerk reaction now views positive volition as going fanatical. And that term is being used for people on doctrine. Why do you go to church four times a week? Used to be five when we was doing it all longhand. Well, you're a real fanatic. You know, I don't think I'm that serious about God's plan. Well, obviously not. You're not in Bible class. So I understand. So 25, and the irony is, the real fanatics is negative volition operating under the standards of the cosmos. So 25, certainly negative volition would not have so characterized their participation in civic and religious events in this vein. It's not like they perceive themselves as frantically running to pursue these vices and idolatrous forms of worship. But this is now how they look at these believers, the Christians who are applying doctrine and separating from them, as they're being fanatical. So certainly negative volition would not have so characterized their participation in civic and religious events in this vein. You got to understand that the idolatry a lot of times was plugged into the political movement of the state. State-sponsored religions. And Rome was of that ilk. 26, however, the reality was that the pagans did rush headlong into pleasure-seeking and self-gratification according to the religious calendar. There was not going to be a day missed that they wasn't going to be at the orgy. So they can get bombed, engage in gluttony, and fornicate, and all those other things which these religious holidays celebrated. So with the same intensity of which we approach Bible doctrine and true Christianity in our lives, understand other people that are out of doctrine with the same intensity, if not more often, they engage in their own pursuits in life under their sin natures. So the reality was that the pagans did rush headlong into pleasure seeking and self-gratification according to the religious calendar. 27, their justification came as a result of the norm in tradition and accepted practice. The traditions of society and that which was considered to be simply normal in regards to living life in the Roman world and in that region and this time in history. So 28, organized religion coupled with state-sponsored events, made their excessive practices okay because this was the mainline religion of pagan idolatry, worshiping many gods and all these events that took place, and the government in turn supported this type of activity because it meant money for the government and unity of people and things of this nature because these people put a stamp of approval on it. And this is the mass and this is the herd mentality, then it becomes naturally okay. See. So 29, unbridled ST activity is what happens when it is granted a license to indulge. That's why Nations are to have laws to help overrule the FCA, to provide a society that is essentially peaceful and people can do what they need to do in life. But when nations engage in liberties of laws that promote evil in any sense of the word in this regards, giving the people the green light to engage in these kinds of practices, then what you will find is an explosion of the FCA activity as it exists within society. Just like people may think, well, it's all right to have a little law here to help protect the homosexual population. You continue to give them the green light, I guarantee you. You may not believe it, but I guarantee you, the green light was given to them. Homosexuality is only the first step. You talk about abnormal perversion. I guarantee you pedophilia would come into play, as well as other gross activities such as bestiality and everything else. That's what happens when the FCA is given the green light and the freedom in society to operate and function in this type of capacity. One reason why our nation has stayed together as long as it has, even though it's short really compared to Rome, they last 4,000 years. We're just a couple hundred years into it, and we're not going to make it much further than this. It's because we have laws that were based on biblical ethics. Now, you can argue all day long whether people were Masons or whatever, but our laws were based on biblical ethics. A lot of them came out of Christian backgrounds and understood the Bible, etc. I don't care whatever agenda they might have had elsewise in this respect. And over the last few decades, the laws have been loosening their stranglehold in regards to certain FCA vices. And we now have a society that, I guarantee you, 100 years ago would have been hardly recognizable by the people of this country, the things that are allowed to go on. But that's what happens when you have the approval given. And that's why it's important in regards to functioning as a local church that we keep doctrine in front of us and say, these are the rules. You transgress the rules according to how the church is to function, etc. We've got to deal with that. Because you let it go, you give it an inch, the FCA, I guarantee it, it'll take a mile. And it won't stop and look back either. So that's why, obviously, for us, it's so important to keep doctrine in our focus and to stay on top of our FCAs. But here you have the manifestation of the FCA as part of the norms and practices of society. So unbridled FCA activity is what happens when it's granted the license to indulge. Dirty, the human viewpoint philosophy of the time said it was, quote, normal, end quote, to do these things. People say, what's normal? Well, these people say, well, this is normal. To go and have these celebrations and feasts and drunkenness and sexual misconduct and all these other things and worshiping idols, this is normal. It's like you can go to, you know, tribes still in certain third world countries and, you know, they do unimaginable things to their bodies and engage in all other kinds of practices that we look at and go, man, that's gross. But to them, that's normal. Because that's the way the society operates. And everybody says, oh, you need to leave them intact. No, bring them into modern culture. Well, you know, and you hear all the arguments. Well, it was the Christians that brought venereal disease. So, these people are dying and going to hell to begin with. And you tell me what's worse. At least they brought the gospel with them, in spite of their infirmities, spiritually otherwise. Doctrine, you think a different way. See, we don't think like the cosmos. At least we shouldn't. I mean, there's some areas, obviously, we're going to be in agreement. Depending on people's norms and standards. Just in the natural aspect of things. There's some things even the Gentiles say, oh, you don't want to do that. 31. Now, the emphatic use of the pronoun you yourselves, not really brought out in the New American Standard. But you yourselves, the emphatic use preceding the participle of running together with, indicates that these believers have been targeted because of their separation. Whereas they were just before one of the crowd, the good old bud, you know, wouldn't otherwise be paid much notice to by others around them, as long as they're there and hanging out and inclined to do what everybody wants to do. Now all of a sudden, they're targets. They become targets. Enter in undeserved suffering, see, which is our major subject. So the emphatic use of pronoun here indicates that these believers have been targeted because of their separation. 32, believers that apply separation can often expect unpleasant repercussions from former associates. Often, probably more than not, when you apply. Obviously, if you don't apply, well, fine. Then you will not have this experience. You're the yoke that wants to embrace every Tom, Dick, and Harry around you, hang out with them, and not make doctrine a true issue in regards to your associations and who you hang out with and call your friends. Well, fine. No, they won't. They're not going to have this kind of surprise. But that's the nature of separation. That's how it impacts negative volition often. 33, now the phrase, into the same excess of dissipation, sheds the true light upon those that run life on a course of STA rulership. This is the true light in regards to the course that negative volition has chosen. 34, the words into the same, which is ice a altos, again refers to the kinds of things specified in verse 3. The STA vices of idolatries. So 35, the noun excess, which is anacousis, is a hot pox, and it also means flood. 36, it is used as a metaphor for rank excess in pleasure seeking. Again, the frantic search for happiness keeps coming to mind. 37, the noun dissipation, which is also tia, is used in the New Testament in connection with the sin of drunkenness and in an immoderate lifestyle. It is used in contrast to being filled with God the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, that's excessive drinking, for that is dissipation or wastefulness. Rather, what you should do is do it in moderation and be filled with God the Holy Spirit. And then also, the immoderate type of lifestyle, going overboard, if you will, Titus 1:6 in things. In regards to qualifications for a pastor, here termed elders, namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, means you can only be married to one woman at any given time, doesn't mean you may not have been married before. Moses had two wives, one before, one after, but obviously, practice of marrying more than one wife is not uncommon in societies. So, you know, today, if you evangelize somebody like in Africa, then some king or something had multiple wives and became a Christian, well, couldn't be a pastor in that condition. Wouldn't say you couldn't come to Bible class. I mean, what else are you going to tell them? You can't be a doctor because you got more than one wife? But you can't be a pastor. And I'll bypass any jokes on my part. The husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. That's being unruly and not doing things in moderation, such as partying, hell raising, things of this nature. So it's used the other two times in Ephesians 5:18 and Titus 1:6. So 38, it indicates wasteful in the pursuit of pleasure. To overdo it. 39, the unbridled STA, in one form or fashion, has one major goal in life. Self-gratification. That's your flesh. It wants you to satisfy its desires, its needs. Self-gratification. And because that is its central purpose, it will always taint everything that a person that operates under the STA does otherwise. So 40, the STA is insatiable. You will never truly give it enough. And demands a, quote, gorging response, end quote, to its appetites. It has a belly that could consume forever if it is left to its wants and its desires in this respect. So you need to understand that about your STA, that it is constantly vying for your attention, and it wants you to serve its needs and rejection of Bible doctrine in whatever area it is seeking to manifest itself in. And giving in to it a little bit is not going to satisfy its lust. It's only going to titillate it and stimulate it for more. Hence why we always try to arrest the STA in the mental attitude and deal with it at that level. Obviously, it's easier said than done. So the STA is insatiable. And it is constantly hungry. And it wants you to feed it. To give yourself self-gratification in whatever area it may express itself, monetarily, sexually, approbation, all these things. All the areas of trends that it has. So 41, cosmic thinking that says job, relationships, funsville, power, wealth, liberation, freedoms, etc., are the highest priorities in life, do not see themselves or their focus in life as overboard, but natural. Obviously in our society, to climb the corporate ladder, to the pursuit of health and wealth and happiness as your major goals in life, through having great jobs and good pay and all the other, you know, pleasures of living in a free world. And that's your highest goal in life, to attain to these things. People in our society, that's normal. That's natural. That's what you would expect. The doctor doesn't think that way. If these things come before Bible doctrine, all it is dissipation. But that's point 42. The reality is that all the effort they put into their pursuits in life, avoiding God's will otherwise, is nothing more than dissipation or wastefulness. Obviously, we understand certain things have to be done in order to sustain ourselves physically. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about putting these things before Bible doctrine and making them their number one, your number one pursuit or love in life, and going after it at the expense of Bible doctrine otherwise. Even Paul looked upon his past education and affiliation under mainline Judaism as the Pharisee of Pharisees, as he so called himself, as being nothing more than dung in regards to providing any true benefit in regards to his spiritual well-being in advance and in serving God and His plan. So there you have it. And obviously, this is important in regards to not only ourselves, but in regards to instilling in our children the priorities of life. This is what's going to be hammered in you in school and by your peers and other people around you. That the number one thing is, go out there and find you that six-figure job. If you have to move halfway across the world to do it, do it. know, even in my time professional dealings, you know, I always knew, and job headhunters would tell you, if you really want to excel in the professional world, be willing to move. If you're willing to move, headhunters can get you in places and put you in spots, and your acceleration can really pick up. Well, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, a church I go to, I'm not going to leave that church. You're a fanatic. You're a nonconformist. You're an idiot. Don't come talk to me about money anymore, you know, or a job or whatever. So, you know, been there, done that. And you do see the look of surprise in their eyes. Well, surely you can find a church to go to, you know, in Timbuktu. I don't feel like being a Muslim. Thank you. Or whatever. So, that's the way it is. God makes it very clear. Either He comes first, or you will not be first. He comes before even your close association in life, in all things, Bible doctrine, or you're not worthy of Him. That's what God demands. He wants our love unconditional, first and priority in all things. And one, when one starts to flirt with the distractions that Satan has, and they are all over the place, that are generally influenced through other negative types running in their STAs, and you start letting it go, and you don't start dealing with it, you don't recognize that your prayer life sucks at this point in time in your life, and you need to start getting that back up to par and recognizing what's truly important in your life, I guarantee you, before long, you'll find yourselves going down the primrose path of reversionism. Bible doctrine, being in Bible class. Yes, we all have our struggles. I understand that. But it's the mental attitude, the fortitude, the perseverance. I'm not going to be robbed of the prize. See, that's what you always got to keep in front of you, no matter what the test may be. And whatever tests and people that may be under tests in that regard, you have opportunity to exhort them. Don't let Bible doctrine wane in your life. Don't let your NPR wane. Hey, what's happening here? No. You see you every Bible class. No. Well, all it is emulation of the cosmos in regards to those things that are more important in life. They're more important than Bible doctrine. And Bible doctrine will take a second back seat, if you will, in regards to those pursuits. And all that is creating a form of idolatry in your life. But to the world, hey, they'll embrace you. Oh, you're back to normal again, I see. Alright, so 43. Now, while the first part of verse 4 reveals negative volition's perception of positive volition as blinded by the SCA towards the adjusted believer, that quickly gives way to resentment verbally, and they malign you. Again, there's no connective there. This is simply a participle. So 44, in point of fact, their maligning was a form of blasphemy. 45, the verb they malign you is blasphemeo in the Greek. It's unmistakable in regards to what it means. So 46, Christians were accused of following a God that encouraged antisocial behavior. They had pulled out of the norm of the mainstream of society in regards to their activities, their focuses, their pursuits in life. And thinking the way everybody else is thinking. And now, you know, coming from their pagan frame of reference and human viewpoint, they're being accused of now following this new God, you know, that promotes antisocial behavior. They won't hang with us anymore. What's their problem? 47. Today, the title, quote, isolationist, end quote, excuse me, is commonly used by maladjusted types to adjust the believer's applying separation. That's the term you'll hear in our circles. A church like ours that will stand up truly with the doctrine of separation and teach it to you in its full. Other churches, including nice churches, that don't want to follow separation, will look at us and they'll point their finger and they're isolationists. I've heard that accusation so many times. Being on doctrine, it's not even funny anymore. It's the same type of malignment. Because we don't want to hang out with the quasi-fundy types, even though they have the name ICE, you know, attached to their heading on their church or whatever. They don't truly practice the entire realm of Bible doctrine in regards to local churches. We don't want to be a part of that association. Now, we stay away from it. But don't be taken aback. Don't be caught off balance. And if people do attack you that way, guess what? They're emulating their negative counterparts. They're emulating the pagans of these Christians' time in Rome. They're blasphemy. 48, Christianity departed from mainline religion. Atheism, or cultism, another thing that obviously churches like ours have been accused of, was one of the charges of believers who refused to participate in pagan worship. It's this new cult. They're anti-god gods. They practiced polytheism back then. So, the fact that we're out of the mainline religiosity of circles in the Christian world today, you know, don't be surprised if we're tagged with the same type of blasphemy of being involved in a cult. No, we're not a cult. You're free to come and go anytime you want. All I do is teach the Bible. Here it is. Either get in fellowship or don't. I don't care. I mean, I do. But it's your choice. A cult. Give me a break. Put me in the same class as David Koresh. All right. Everybody line up. I need a... Got 50 wives here. These idiots. 49, believers were accused of hating others as they separated from family, friends, and neighbors. See, that's the accusation. When you apply separation, that's just hatred. You have no real love. Oh, really? So believers are accused of hating others as they separated from family, friends, and neighbors. Practice these vices and otherwise adhering to forms of idolatry. 50, finally, they were accused of being subversive to the Roman authority where participation in civic activities conflicted with biblical standards. Obviously, the Roman civil and political form was tied in directly to the religious forms. Now, part of the accusations was that they're being subversive. They're being unpatriotic. Because, you know, they don't do what the government and everybody says, oh, this is what you should do. Like everybody get on the bandwagon and everybody feed everybody in this world. It ain't going to work. I'm not going to feed you. You know, that type of a thing. Oh, you're unpatriotic. You're unpatriotic because you don't give 100% regards to our military that supports the New World Order of the United Nations. Why would I? All they're doing is ushering in the stage for Antichrist. Where's the honor in that? Obviously, some may have jobs and have regards, and we all have to work. We're not dealing with that. We're dealing with the attitude. And obviously, this attitude is replete. Where all these people are going, yah, 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 as we're invading countries today in regards to Vietnam. Oh, it's a whole different ball game back then. Because people didn't want to go. Wussies. You know, yes it is. It's a society. A society, a mainline society, they get in their heads and they do these things. And I had someone who was in law told me one time, if you want to know the direction the law is going to take in regards to the Supreme Court and things of this nature, just look at the people and see which direction they're going. You guarantee the laws will bend that direction. Got to keep people happy, see. Just little tidbit. Well, I'm having too much fun once again this evening, so I didn't quite get done with this. But these verses are going to go pretty quick, so we're going to pick this up Sunday morning. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, lighten us these things in Jesus' name.